What if we invited Donald Trump to lunch?
Hello and welcome to the show. Colourful Conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark. This week, we debate how to be the perfect host. Now then, we all have faced many, many serious situations where we've had to be the perfect host. It requires a lot of work. In fact, in some cases, it requires a lot of money. Now, luckily, London, yes, Theresa May, you don't have to fork out on this occasion because Donald Trump has decided not to come to the United Kingdom. Now, he has cited many reasons for this, but he's gone cold on the idea, according to Whitehall sources, mainly unhappy with the arrangements and the scale of the visit. Some people cite the fact that the American embassy, which was sold by the previous president, Barack Obama, didn't go down well, according to Donald Trump. And so, therefore, he's not going to come. Well, I'm going to clear away the tables and maybe just to open it up to Clergyman Pete. So, Clergyman Pete, do you think Donald Trump should have accepted the invite to come to the United Kingdom? And what, in your opinion, makes a good host?
Oh, right. Well, I the first question, I think the answer is, I think he has been so insulted by many British politicians in Parliament that it would have been difficult for him to accept and, be gracious about it. Because in coming, he was going to face tirades of insults, probably demonstrations of people against him. It wouldn't have been a good visit.
And that would have been within his own party.
I think he was right for those reasons to at least postpone it. I think people need to get a sense of perspective. I mean, hospitality is important. In answer to your second question, how do you be a host or something like that? I mean, if Donald Trump were coming to lunch at Mark and Pete Towers on Monday, say we invited him, and he were to come to our residence for lunch, we would, of course, let down the drawbridge for the occasion, put some bunting up, clear out the stables, and let him come into the perhaps number two dining room at Mark and Pete Towers, and invite him. And I think that it's a lack of hospitality by Britain. It doesn't matter whether you disagree with him. He hasn't done anything egregious. We've even had people guilty of war crimes into Britain on visits. So having Donald Trump, whose main crime seems to be that he speaks like a New York cabbie, I guess you might say. He's just not as refined as the posh politicians that we have. It seems extraordinary to me that they're so inhospitable. And lack of understanding, supposedly, our politicians today like a bit of rurality. In fact, they like even multiculturalism. Doesn't extend as far as New York attitudes, it seems.
Well, one thing I would say is I think you would make a very entertaining guest.
Yes, I think so.
And just to Clergyman Pete's point, we would certainly be happy to dust down the vol-au-vents and get out some of the old stale biscuits, should he wish to
come
to Mark and Pete Towers, as you say. But what I would say is that he likes the regalia. Now, the thing here is that he claims that if he were to come to the United Kingdom, for example, there would be a lack of bells and whistles, i.e. there wouldn't be any royal involvement. It's always good to have somebody with a tiara and a crown at your head of table, I think. But he's discouraged also by other political events. Now, I would like to mention this point that, as you know, the selling of the embassy, which I think in his mind was a flawed strategy by Barack Obama. And of course, they have moved. They've moved to a new premises, costing a lot of money. Some people think it was a good thing. But Donald Trump definitely didn't, certainly through his tweeting and some of his rhetoric. Now, I was sort of wondering myself, the other way around, what would he be like as a host? Now, I think he would put on a grand show I don't know. Would you be inclined to, if you got an invitation? Well, I know that you do all the time, but do you get many invitations from Donald, and how many do you take up?
Yes. Well, businessman Mark, I think that I don't get that many invites from Trump. But I think Trump is wrong on the reasons he gave. I believe I'm right in saying that the decision to sell that embassy was taken under Bush's administration, not Obama. But be that as it may, it does seem to have been a bad deal. You know, I don't think selling central London properties is a good idea to have some sort of modern monstrosity, because it's not just the function, it's the prestige of the place if you're talking about your embassy. That's important. I think that he's probably right, that it was a bad deal. But I think he's got the wrong president. But inviting Donald Trump, I think what we need to do is, instead of just theorising, let's invite him.
Mm.
I mean, he should come over. Now, I think, I just want to add a point, though, about something you mentioned, Mark, which the listeners may have picked up on. You mentioned dusting off the vol-au-vents and the biscuits, but that's not going to satisfy him, because what we have in Donald Trump, some people refer to him as an alpha male, and it's been reported that he watches the Gorilla Channel 17 hours a day. Yes, I know it was a prank, gentle listener, I was just joking. But Donald Trump, being sort of the alpha male gorilla, obviously likes to eat McDonald's and that class of food.
Yes.
He wants a soda of some sort, and maybe he wants. I believe he drinks a lot of Diet Coke.
Mm.
So he wants Diet Coke and a McDonald's. He doesn't want your fancy vol-au-vents, mate. He wants some proper solid food. And that's only the start of the catering issues. I think there's two main ones that I say. One, he doesn't drink alcohol, and at Mark and Pete Towers, we like to get completely sloshed over lunch. And that's why these episodes recorded in the afternoon are as they are. But the other thing is the sheer volume. I mean, he's been putting on weight noticeably since taking up office.
Well,
I mean, he consumes vast quantities.
I know. Unfortunately, I do agree with you. I think Donald, unfortunately, he's taken it a bit too far and consumed some of the guests as well.
Yes.
Which I've noticed that a few people have disappeared from his regime.
So what would you, I would say, look, being the perfect host, you need to send out to McDonald's. I mean,
I actually think that this raises a bigger issue, actually, because how is it that as an individual, there's a lot of onus on a host, isn't there?
Yes,
we talked about the political side, but let's talk about the personal side.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about if you're holding a party, there's all the time and the preparations, etc. There's the pressure and the expectation for it to go well. And I must admit that... I would be very, very apprehensive. Now, I'll give you a little thought here, which it comes in the form of what we know as a little poem here.
Oh, but, right. Okay.
You'll see why, because I'm sure there are many men and women, families out there thinking, yes, I've found myself in this situation. And this is a little poem called When to Toast or Roast the Host.
Mm.
Each week, the reveling relatives boast, as they carve up the crackling Sunday roast, with tons of trimming stretching coast to coast, the meals a mess are just the most. But a startling invitation I got in the post turned me pale like the Holy Ghost. I've been selected as this week's host. Oh Lord, I hope they all like cheese on toast. Crumbs, pass the ketchup.
Yeah, well, he'd like that. I think he would.
Let me just tell you that one of the reasons why we haven't invited you around is because you'd probably end up with just cheese on toast and maybe a bottle of ketchup.
Yes.
Now, you might be happy with that, but I think...
Who, me? Are you talking to me or Donald Trump now? Because Donald Trump doesn't listen to the show.
I don't know. I mean, either way, you'd share the same piece of toast because...
Now, as you know... Donald Trump is also known for being sort of like that embarrassing uncle. You know, everyone has one, and so he's going to be at the dinner table. I would say, look, if we're going to invite him for lunch, not dinner, and the kids will be out at school. You see, I mean, not. I don't mean our kids. We're not married, at least not to each other. I don't know whether the listeners realise that. And so, but, you know, the fact that we both live at Trump Towers, not Trump Towers, at Market B Towers, although it's soon to be called Trump Towers, but the deal hasn't gone through yet, so I wasn't meant to reveal it. But yeah. The rebranding will happen later. But I think, you know, the kids aren't going to be there, so I don't know that it's that much of an issue, although there might be a vicar there at the meal. That's my job, isn't it? So, you know, I might be offended.
You have to be host every weekend, don't you? I mean,
effectively,
congregation all there supping the communal wine.
And I don't turn people away. You know, it's sort of self-selecting. I say, if you normally take this, take the bread and the wine in your home church, you're welcome to here. Anyone who knows and loves the Lord Jesus can take part. And so I would be uncomfortable. And I am uncomfortable turning Donald Trump away. It's his decision not to come to Britain is fine. And I understand the reasons, but I don't think we should be turning him away as a country. And certainly to the Mark and Pete Towers lunch, which is obviously a real, Mark and Pete Towers is obviously a real place, and it's a real lunch about to happen. There's no question that I just made it up off the top of my head. That's not true. But so, I think that Trump, if he were coming to the country and we'd invited him and then found that he was a bit rude, I would still invite him.
Mm.
I don't think
almost certainly he will be rude. Partly for the fact, I think, that what we've seen is these sort of state visits over the years have just become a little bit sort of prosaic, and we need somebody to shake it up. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, let's be honest, I know that some of our listeners might find this next comment a bit strange. He does have some valid points to say. And, you know, if you're hosting an event, you want some interaction, don't you? You don't want all this pomp and ceremony. I mean, it's good. I mean, I'm not suggesting he's sitting there lighting farts at the table suggesting that he does that. But nevertheless, why not build the relationship?
If he
doesn't come to the United Kingdom in the next year, I think that's pretty poor for not inviting somebody who's such an influential politician. I'm disappointed in the sense that he's not going to come, but I do hope that he will be coming to a grand estate event later on in the year, because I feel that we'll all be missing out. And, you know, let's be honest, he'll be going into an election campaign by the time we get into a two-year run, as we know the way that the US politics works. He'll be focused on other matters.
Yes, I agree. I think it would be a good idea to pull out all the stops. I don't understand the people being so against him, in that even if you disagree with his policies, most of them are for the US, not for us. I mean, you know, we aren't. What are British politicians doing complaining about what a US president is saying to his own people? It's just got nothing to do with them. We should invite him. We should treat him well. Leviticus, here's a quote from Leviticus. Not often do that.
And Leviticus is welcome as well.
Not a popular book of the Bible, but it has some useful things to say. It has the laws of the land in Israel, God's views on how you treat people coming to your land. It says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you. Sojourn means a temporary stay. So it's not saying invite Donald Trump over here and let him stay in the back bedroom forever. What it's saying is, when someone comes, you should treat him well, do him no wrong. He might be rude. He might. You say he doesn't light his farts. I'm not convinced of that, but he might say rude things. But we treat him with politeness. Now, with the children being out of school, I think it'll be fine. But reading of Donald Trump, say in the fictional lunch we're having, in that particular case, I think he might make rude jokes and this sort of thing, but he'd wait until the brandy and cigars. And, of course, the good thing about it is he doesn't smoke or drink, so more for us. And in terms of the real situation, we're inviting him to Britain, inviting him to a big state visit with the Queen and all that class of thing, I think that would be the right thing to do. He's not going to misbehave in that situation. he might say rude things to Democrats over a discussion table when the cameras and the microphones are there, but he's not going to goose the Queen's bum, is he? I mean, he's not. I have to say, if you remember, that was when Obama put his hand on the Queen.
Oh, yes.
So I think, if anything, he's more polite than Obama.
Well, I must admit that being a host, of course, is a big challenge. And I'm going to sort of come to the conclusion here that obviously we think that Donald should come. So obviously, yes. You know, the open invitation is there.
Yes.
But before we go, Clergyman Pete, I would like to say in our metaphorical lunch that is grand occasion that we're having, who alongside Donald Trump, who else would you like to be sitting there alongside Donald? Who else would you invite to this Mark and Pete grand event?
Well, you know, well, of course, he's going to be meeting the sort of major politicians and the Queen.
Archbishop of Canterbury?
And the Queen will have been, obviously, would have been round to lunch with us the week before, I think she's going.
Well, I do believe so. Cucumber sandwiches.
Yeah, I think you should, if he hasn't already met him, you should invite Nigel Farage, because they're big mates.
I'm just making a note here,
I think it would be incumbent upon us to invite, I don't know, I think we should invite what might be loosely termed some real people.
Kim Jong-un.
Oh, no, well, you know, we can't invite him. No, because you know what he did last time.
That's true.
I think we should invite,
still haven't cleaned up the stain.
No, I think we should invite some real people. I'd say invite real representatives of different jobs. So you get someone who's down and out. You get someone who's a truck driver.
Well, Angela Merkel. Sort
of, soon to be. You get people from different walks of life, so he can meet a cross-section of the British population. And then you get maybe some people from different political points of view who he may never have met. He may not be even aware of that.
Mm.
Theresa
May.
Yes, and then obviously you invite round, you know, his ex-wives, just to make him feel
home. Oh, yes, that would always be a good one, yeah.
That's a good tip.
Well, I'm glad that we've got that sorted. Well, look, listeners, I mean, do you think that Donald should be coming to the United Kingdom? Do you think, actually, maybe we're missing out? Maybe there's a side of Donald that we haven't seen yet. Well, let us know. Why not give us your opinions? Log on to markandpete.com and let us know your thoughts. Well, thank you for listening to us today. We've been the perfect host, I believe. Clergyman Pete is now going to start eating the rest of those leftover vol-au-vents. So join us again next time for more colourful conversations with Mark and Pete.